so that we do not leave the subject, and by leaving, I wouldn't be surprised if in another few weeks or months, I am back on another lesson dealing with what makes anything we give to God holy. One of the passages that will come up is where Jesus Christ implied in Matthew that it was the altar that sanctified the gift, something to that effect. And very interesting and enlightening point about, remember, the word sanctify is the word holy. So I say, I need to let us look on that, not just for look's sake, but that we might be enlightened. So the implication of God's holiness. We try to look at that directly this morning, not going here and there, but what is implied? What message for us? What is expected of us because of God's holiness? I pointed out that holiness is the distinguishing quality of the Almighty God, of Jehovah God, peculiar to the Almighty God alone. Holiness is that quality that essential quality of the Almighty God that separates God from everything else, His holiness. Holiness is unique to God. And I may just drop here, should you be thinking, but the Almighty God has designated people holy. Well, only insofar as the Almighty God so designate a man, a woman, a place, a thing, only insofar is that person, place, or thing holy, and never in the same way that God is holy. It is peculiar to the Almighty God alone, holiness. And as I've just said, it is ascribed to others only in so far as God Himself allows. Let us hear Isaiah chapter 41, verse 20, chapter 45, verse 11. Let us hear it.
That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it.
You notice the three. That they may see and understand and know. God doesn't want us only to see. He wants us to understand. He wants us to know what his hands have done. Chapter 45, verse 11.
Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me.
The Holy One of Israel?
The Holy One of Israel.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, get this now, because this has implication for us. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we believe that God has been unkind or unjust to us. I just for men and women who believe there is a God, but they are not followers of Christ. For people who think that things must run smoothly for them at all times. It is easy for them to sometimes think that God has then dealt wrongly with them. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that God's holiness means, that's one of the implications of God's holiness. God's holiness means that however hidden, did I say however hidden? Yes. However hidden the meaning of God's dealing. That is, we may go through our experience or bear some things that we just cannot explain, cannot understand. We are confused by them, however hidden. The meaning of God's dealing. The Almighty God is always just. That's one of the implications of God's holiness. God never did, and God never will do wrong to any of his creature. God never punish wrongfully. God never punish a man or a woman mistakenly. Whatever you and I may think, whatever we may see happen to others, and we believe, we ask the question, but God has all power. Why God did not change that from happening? God never will do wrong to any of his creature, and God never punish wrongly, never. And because God is holy, and not only demand holiness from or in his children. Did I say that he's not only holy, but he demand holiness in his children? That is us, huh? And if you don't believe me, look at 1 Peter. I think that's the passage that was read this morning. It is chapter 1, verse 15 and 17. Again, let us hear it.
But as he which hath called you is holy.
As God who calls you in Christ is holy.
So be ye holy.
So be ye. That was referring to his people, his children, the Christian, that we are expected to be holy also because God is holy. And when God calls us, he calls us to holiness. That means that we must be separated to Jesus Christ to do his will. Read on, brother.
In all manner of conversation.
In all manner of living.
Because it is written.
Because it is written.
Be ye holy.
Be you holy.
For I am holy.
That is referring to the Christian. But not only does he demand us to be holy, but the Almighty God provide the means whereby we can be holy. So the Almighty God didn't just set some rules and don't care how they are met or whether or not we are able to meet them. The Almighty God provide the motivation in his great love demonstrated on the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24. Let us hear it. That in Jesus Christ, We are given the strength and the motivation to be what God wants us to be. Let us hear Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24.
That he put off concerning the former conversation.
I like this passage. Are we all there? There is a putting off and a putting on. Yes. There is a putting off and a putting on. Start again, Brother Webb.
That he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man.
Wait. This is not talking to everybody. It's talking to those who have taken up the cross and decide to follow Christ. So the ye here means the Christian. And what Christianity implies is that you put off. Wait. While when we repent from sin. We decide that sin will not control our lives anymore. But if we live for another week, another month, another 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, those years are weeks, are weeks, months, and years of putting off. And putting on. That is, we get rid of the sinful nature day by day, and we put on the Christ-like nature day by day. Go on, brother.
The old man. Which is corrupt. According to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Have a different mindset. Start thinking differently. Where must the renewing take place?
In your mind.
In your mind, read on.
And that he put on.
That, remember when the brother started, it was about putting off. And we have a lot of things to put off, get rid of. But here now the brother has just read a verse that tells us that we put on, and this putting on is the Christ-like nature. Read, brother.
That he put on the new man.
The new man.
Which after God is created in righteousness.
That is, you see, after God is referring there to Christ. That is, like Jesus Christ, you are putting on. Thinking, thoughts, ways, attitude, disposition, and all of that is Christ-like.
Which is created in righteousness.
Created in righteousness.
And true holiness.
And true holiness. My brother Israel, why talk about true holiness? Does not holiness is true. The fact is, the righteousness which was according to the law is not true righteousness. That Paul referred to it as my own righteousness. True righteousness or holiness is found in Jesus Christ. So therefore, there are 4 to 5 important truth or take away from the implication of God's true holiness that we have studied over the past 2 weeks. There are at least 4 points I want to point out this morning for us to learn further, to be enlightened further on what is implied for us in that God is a holy God. One, the first one is that there is a gulf, a gap between God and man. are between the Almighty God and sinner. That's the first thing we must keep in mind. There is a gap, a gulf between God and man. That's what the holiness of God implies. Because God is totally pure, holy, sinless, doing man that which is termed moral evil is completely out of God's realm of thinking. God can never do that which is wrong. While man, in our thoughts, in our words, in our action, we do wrong. So that creates a gulf, a gap. In every sinner, Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, Habakkuk 1:13, let us hear these two passages dealing.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God.
You notice, this is talk about the gap, the gulf, the chasm that exists between God and man. Wait. You must remember when you read Isaiah 59, it was not sent to just a particular segment of the Israelites. It was sent to the entire nation of Israel. But they were all contaminated by sin in the sight of God. While you may have Israelites that were really trying to live close to God, but they were sinning nonetheless. One of the things that the Almighty God did to help the Israelite understand sin is that their sin was brought forward every year. That was God's system of reminding the Israelite that your sin, you need to be reminded of your sin. That was verse 1. And 2?
Yes.
Let me hear verse 2 again.
But your iniquities have separated between you and
your
God.
If you're in the audience this morning and you are not a child of God, if you have not come to Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism for God to deal with your sin, this is describing you. That's right. You felt like you and God slept last night. You were deceived if you have not come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Because here the Almighty God is telling you that your sin has separated you from God. And that is one of the factual thing about God's holiness. He cannot directly deal with sin. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13.
Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil.
Wait. Let me hear that again.
Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil.
Everybody hear that? Just to see evil is offensive to God. This is why the business of mediator from Old to New Testament had to be employed every step of the way. And notice those who acted as mediator, be it Moses or the priest, they had to go through a lot of ritualistic things before they could approach God on behalf of the Israelite. So here, Habakkuk the prophet is telling us that God's eyes, vision is so pure, he hates to see evil.
And can't not look on iniquity.
Everybody here, eh? You remember, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was on the cross or somewhere there. Because death represents sin. So when Jesus Christ stretched out at Calvary, that death that he died to pay the price for your sin and my sin, that death represents sin. He was made sin for us.
Yeah. Sorry.
While he committed no sin. Mm-hmm. But the way he had to pay for our sin, Christ had to participate in the consequences of sin. Mm-hmm. Our consequences. Mm-hmm. That's how comes he died. Man and God are estranged from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sin caused that. So that is the first thing that is implied in the holiness of God. One is so pure, so holy, so spotless morally and spiritually. The other one is so contaminated, so affected by sin, wrongdoing, wrong thought, that the prophet, he cannot even look at sin. Then the second thing you learn are that we are to learn from God's holiness is that man must approach God through the spiritual our righteousness, our merit of another. Brother Mitchell, that statement is too long. Either repeat it or cut it down for me. Thank for asking. I would rather repeat it so that I don't miss out of anything. Because God is holy. It implies you and I, wait. You and I just can't go bow down and pray to God. Not because I say so, because God's holiness makes that impossible. That's right. Yeah, wait. If you have not turned your life over to Jesus Christ in faith in Christ, repentance from sin, confession of your faith and baptism for the removal of your sin, you can go and pray to God 6 times for the day, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year, and those prayer got lost in the air. God no hear them. Because until you have dealt with your sin Jesus' way, there is no way you can just go to God and talk to him so. That's right. Remember, what I'm saying here is taught from Old to New Testament. But this is the implication of God's holiness. Yes, you got in that accident and things are very serious and you don't know whether you're going to live or die. Well, God has concern. For one thing, the Almighty God is well aware of what happens both to the godly and the ungodly. But when our backs are against the wall as sinners and we go to God in prayer, God will not respond to those prayers. Why, Mr. Mitchell? Because God's nature, his holy nature, separate him from you. Only men and women who are in fellowship with God through obedience to Christ's will God hear their prayer. In fact, run to the passage, St. John chapter 9, verse 31. I could ask you to run to Peter 2. I could ask you to run to Isaiah chapter 1. But since we are not on prayer as such, but let our visiting friends hear what the Bible says. Did I say St. John chapter 9, verse 31? It's somewhere there, no? Let us hear it. Read.
Now we know.
Now we think.
Now we know.
Now we know. What do we know?
That God heareth not sinners.
That God does not hear sinners. Wait. Why? Because the man or woman is a sinner. You have not yet gotten your sins dealt with by God through the gospel way. So now we know that God heareth not sinner.
But if any man be a worshipper of God.
Listen. If any man be a worshipper of God.
And doeth his will.
The word doeth there mean practice his will.
Him he heareth.
That's the person God hear. You notice how the passage is plain? You have to do God's will, and that doing God's will include worship. The lesson that was planned, work on throughout the week and planned for this morning was a lesson where God's words speak to the unbeliever as well as the believer. And worship was meant to be a very important part of the life of Christian. Worship was never meant to be where you come up with all sort of excuses to miss worship. But when you have your own personal business to do, you do it morning, noon, and night. Huh? Christian should never feel comfortable when you are watching your soap opera in the night and other Christian, fellow Christian with you. They are Christian like you claim to be, yet they are worshiping God. Your conscience, if you have any, should bother you. Mm-hmm. Truly.
Sorry.
Truly.
Yep.
You should look for every opportunity to worship God. Wait. It's due to God. The time you spend in worship is God's time. And he asks you, that's how good God is. He asks you only to give him little of it. And yet you come up with all the excuse in your mind to miss service. That's not where we were. We were on the fact that God, not only does God not hear sinner, but the holiness of God makes that impossible. And we ask our visiting friends to be mindful of that your prayers will not be heard. But we were on the point that man must approach God through the spiritual or the righteous merit of another. That's the second point. And that other is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Wait. I, as a Christian, or the brother or sister sitting beside you, as a Christian can pray for you. If you are not a Christian, remember, you can be a church member and not a Christian. But if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, the Bible way, the gospel way, then you need another person to pray for you. Are we all there? So if you are to approach God at all, it must be through another, and thus that other must be a child of God. That is what the holiness of God implies. Man, as he is, without having been cleansed through the blood of Christ, man neither possess nor can acquire the necessary sinlessness to access the Almighty God. I said the necessary sinlessness. You cannot just acquire that. That does not come by doing good works. It comes by submitting your life to Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand.
Enoch. Chapter 2, 18, Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 20. Let us hear Romans again, brother, chapter 5, verse 2.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
You notice that you can easily read that and don't see. You heard, by whom also we do what?
We have access.
We have to access God's blessing by another person. That is by Jesus Christ. There is no other way. But wait. You have to be in Christ to have that right. By whom? That is through whom? On our own, we do not have what it takes to access or to approach God. Let us hear the other passage. Let us hear Hebrews 10, 19.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Here again, you cannot just enter the holy of holiest. That means your prayer reached God in heaven. Listen to the passage again.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter.
Wait, having boldness to enter. It doesn't mean you go to heaven in person. It means your prayer that is sent up to God reach where it was intended. But even that need Jesus Christ. You have to be in Christ, which means you have to be a Christian to have that privilege. Read it complete now, brother. Having therefore access.
Boldness. To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Christ. Do you just call on the blood? No. You have to be washed in the blood. so as to get under the influence of the blood of Christ, so as to be able to access God's throne in prayer. What that other passage? I see right E-A-H. I don't know either, Joshua. Yes. So that was the second, the third point. Our implication. Remember, we have just dealt with the fact that without Jesus Christ, or without the righteousness of another, you cannot enter God's power in prayer. It's very important that that be understood. But Brother Mitchell, I've always thought God is there and I believe that he exists. I can just go to him. No. In fact, probably you're taking God's holiness for granted. Because God is holy. Watch it. Your friends and relatives, neighbors, your neighbor, you can knock at their gate anytime. They are neighbors. Your friends, you can phone them at any time. Co-workers. Do you know what? We treat God like that. You notice, you cannot just drive up at the prime minister gate and say, I want to see the prime minister. Everybody understand that? You cannot just drive up at governor general gate and I'm here to see governor general. There are process. There are rules. Well, God's holiness has implication. And it means you cannot approach God on your own if you have not turned your life over to Jesus Christ. You always have to go through the righteousness of another. Thirdly, those who are privileged to approach God should do so with reverence and godly fear. Wait, so what we are dealing with is that not only do you approach God, there is a how. That's right. That is even for us Christians. There is a how. So even if we are Christians, if we approach God mindless, thoughtless of the fact that you must approach God with reverence and fear, then our prayers will be hindered. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, 28, 29. Hebrews chapter 8, chapter 12, 28 and 29.
Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence. Yeah,
wait. Take time with my brother. I'm very slow. Whereby we may serve God how?
Acceptably.
That is our whole, our aim, our goal, our objective. Christian, are you here? You not just want to serve God any and anyhow.
That's right.
You must aim to serve God acceptably. That is how do you serve Him. And it refers to every act of worship.
That's right.
Wait. When we sing,
yeah,
we must do it right.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray, we must do it right.
Mm-hmm.
When we give,
mm-hmm.
wait. When we give, the Almighty God kill a wife and a husband? Is it Acts chapter 6?
Five.
Did I say kill? Yes. Because they did not worship God acceptably. That refer to giving. They come a trifle work brain and God. They must be Jamaican. Truly. Ananias and Sapphira. A trifle work brain and God. By God. They didn't think that every God thing that they had belonged to God. Came from God. So when you come to give, be sincere, be above board with God. Don't try to work brain with God, because when you try to work brain with God, you are only working brain against yourself.
Truly, truly.
God killed them. Serving God how?
Acceptably.
Everybody hear that? So now you learn, you cannot just go serve God the way you like, the way you... Wait. Did you know that's why we don't have a piano here? Because that piano would mean that we bring it in to provide entertainment for us. Wherever you see the musical instrument, it's not God that is being considered, but the worshiper. But notice, ladies and gentlemen, in worshiping, God is the soul. Is the soul consideration? Remember that. In worship, we, the worshiper, come out to give to God. We don't come out to do things to please ourselves. That's why anyone who worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why God in the book of Isaiah points out that when you come out to worship him, you must not do your own thing or even use your own words. Where were we, brother?
Whereby we may serve God
acceptably
with reverence.
With reverence.
And godly fear.
What type of fear?
Godly fear.
Everybody hear that? We are on the point that if God is going to be approached, we should do so with reverence and godly fear. You cannot approach God just any and any way. That's what that is dealing with. It is rightly said that right view of the holiness of God leads to right view of sin. Only as we have a right view of God's holiness, we have a right view not only of approaching God, but a right view of sin. And last but not least.
Four.
Please, brother, give me.
For God is a consuming fire.
Wait, take time with us there. That's the same Hebrews.
Yeah, verse 29.
And may I try to cut the sermon sharp? Everybody hear that? You see, brothers and sisters, what? Brother Mitchell, that don't mean real fire. It means real fire. Here is an example. Hold that, Brother Webb or Brother Myrie, or any of you. Turn to the passage, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through verse 2 and 3. Just as an example, we are on the last few minutes of the lesson. Very important. Because we always are considerate that there are those among us who are not Christian. We want to enlighten. The Bible has just told us why we need to approach God with
Reverence and godly fear.
And it tells the reason you need to put in the how you serve God, worship Him. Because God is a consuming fire. Look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. Let us hear it. Wait. And you're reading about worship. Of course, what the brother is reading is Old Testament worship. But it's about two of God's servants worshiping Him, and they had forgotten to do it God's way. Mm-hmm. Quick, brother.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord.
May I? We can offer strange singing to God.
True.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We can offer strange giving to God. Mm-hmm. That is giving that is not in conformity to what the Bible teaches. Our singing, those singing that we sing just to give ourselves joy, but forget God. Mm-hmm. There are some singing and some worship service, they are really at the dance hall. That's right. Mm-hmm. People are clapping and dance like they're at the dance hall. When we come together, we come together to give God what He asks for and to do it His way. Mm-hmm. So here we talk about strange fire. I first hear about that. Me think all fire is the same fire, Brother Mitchell. I thought so too until I got acquainted with this passage. Mm-hmm. Because simply by taking the fire from a source that God did not specify made it strange fire. Are we all there? You need to understand when you read that, that it's like God had told them to take the fire from here, and they take it from here. That made all the difference to the Holy God. You didn't finish, you know, brother.
Which He commanded them not.
You hear again? God must give directive for us to know how to please Him. You don't just guess and give what you like. No, you don't do it like that. Consult God. I have some news for you. And I like to give brata. You know, the Almighty God speak plentifully in here in respect to how to please Him.
Yeah, sure.
Plentifully.
Yeah.
To tell you what He wants. It's just that you are too busy to check where God speak. Nadab and Abihu, who keep thy censer and his incense and put fire therein.
Strange fire.
Uh-huh.
And offered strange fire.
Strange fire.
Before the Lord.
Before the Lord, which He commanded them not.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them.
Everybody hear that? That's why He is a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yeah.
This happened in worship. God killed Moses' nephews. They were to call Moses uncle. They had been trained from they were what, 18 or 22 as priests, officiating in the spiritual thing. And they make a simple mistake. Wait. Simple to us, but deeply profound and important to God.
Yeah.
The Almighty God killed them. So when the Bible talks about God is a consuming fire, It means just that. You must put emphasis on the how as you worship God. And last but not least, and this point relates to, but I term this four, but it could also be related to number four, and that is worshiping God must be guided by God's regulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
By God's regulation, worshiping God must be, and this we cannot, in fact, just over the past 2 weeks I've decided that I'll be writing a tract showing the relationship between God's holiness and God not hearing the prayer of sinner.
Okay.
There will be a tract that will be, I'm hoping, God's willing, sometime during this year to do that track and have it printed, between the holiness of God and true worship, our God not hearing prayer. Yes. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 following.
And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have begotten a man from the Lord.
Wait, and stop there. The brother is reading from the right passage. This is, we are summing up now. And Adam knew his wife, that is, knew her sexually. And she bare a son, and called his name?
Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel.
She had another child that was Abel.
And Abel was a keeper of sheep.
One of them was a shepherd.
But Cain was a tiller of the ground.
One was a farmer.
And
he cultivate in the soil.
And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock.
You'll notice both of them, and this is quite interesting, instructive for us. The two brothers worshipping the same God. But I have some news for you. They had gotten, from all indication, the same instruction. Mm-hmm. Are we all there? They were from the same mother, same father. Set out to worship the same God. Read, brother.
And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect.
You see what I see? That's worship. We all can be here worshiping. Mm-hmm. And some of us end up not worshiping God pleasingly, while others worshiping pleasingly. Even though all of us might be in the same building, are we all there? Are we all there? When you and I take the communion, we do not give the same reverence and respect to it. You might be taking it, thinking of a dozen things that you'll be going about tomorrow or later in the evening. So for you, it's just drinking a little grape juice. Consideration of Jesus' death have nothing to do with you. Some of us may take it like that. You and I may throw funds in the offering plate, But in the sight of God, what you trod, what I show, have two different meaning for God. Here are two brothers worshiping the same God. God accepted one of the worship and rejected the others. We are at the point that worshiping him, we must be guided by God's regulation. Not just how you feel, how you think, how you like it. It must be dependent on God's instruction. We beg that you remember that as we close the lesson and encourage you that if you are here today, first, in becoming Christian, you must become a Christian the right way. That's the first thing you must always remember. Did you know we have some people right here in the New Testament where they had to be baptized over? Brother Mitchell, where is that found? Acts of the Apostle, chapter 5 or 6, somewhere there. Chapter 5, 19:5. Acts 19:5. These are people who heard something about God, about Christ. They got baptized. They heard about John the Baptist also. They got baptized. But do you know what? By the time Paul met them and asked them a simple question, Paul discovered that they went into the water for religious purpose, but his purpose for which God did not command them. They had to be baptized over. And this shows that when you become Christian, you must become a Christian the right way. And that's why we are here, and that's why we are about to sing an invitation song, giving you the chance to become a Christian the gospel way, Jesus' way. You're here first. If you have heard something in this sermon that you'd like to ask one or two questions, or you'd like to see some clarification, our telephone number is here, 933-5550. Or you can speak to me or one of the members after we dismiss in a few minutes. Or you can come back tonight at 6 when we have our night service, 6 this evening. And just before we begin the message, wherever you are seated, we will bring the mic to you to ask your question. And we take kindly to your question. We appreciate your question. But if you're here and it's not so much a Christian, you'd like to become a Christian the Bible's way. In a few seconds, as we stand to sing, you can step forward to give your life to Christ. And anything needs to be clarified that can be clarified, now we will do it. But you know what? Jesus Christ loves you, cares for you, and Christ wants you to do it right. So do it right. Become a Christian the gospel way as we stand.